This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You ever been standing in the shower when suddenly the noise in your brain just melts away and suddenly in its place a thought pops in? Maybe it's a question, maybe it's an observation about the world around you. We call those here at Nights shower thoughts, and we aim to answer those unshakable questions that lurk in the back of your mind. Tonight's question: why do we still need witnesses at weddings? And just as an FYI, if you have a question that you would like us to get to the bottom of, flick it through, text 2101 or email us knights@rnz.co.nz. To help us answer this particular question, we enlisted the help of Celebrants Aotearoa President Rachel Clark. I spoke to Rachel earlier on in the week, and this is how our conversation went. Please tell me, first of all, what is a wedding?
What is a wedding? Well, the legal definition of marriage is according to the Marriage Act of 1955, which is quite a bit older than me, so it's getting a bit dated, but it says that a marriage is the formalisation of a relationship between two people, regardless of gender. And more formally, since the Marriage Amendment Act of 2013, it's defined as the union of two people, regardless of their sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity.
So it's sort of like a legal acknowledgement and formalisation of a relationship between two people.
It is indeed a legal acknowledgement, and I think that's probably the key term, actually. The Marriage Act is actually administered by the Ministry of Justice. Mm. So, for example, not that you really want to talk about that up front, but when people do go for a divorce, that dissolution process actually happens through the Ministry of Justice.
Right, okay. And so it places obligations on the parties and so on and so forth, legal recourses and stuff like that, that doesn't happen in an unformalised relationship all the time.
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, that probably takes us to the point of why have witnesses.
Yeah.
Because it's about that legal recourse. If, you know, a marriage is called into question, or the legality of a marriage is called into question, it's under Part 4 of the Family Proceedings Act of 1980. And a family court judge might ask witnesses to the marriage to attend the court. And this is why witnesses provide their address, so that at least it's a lead to being able to contact them. And that is the funny part in the ceremony, in that the couple themselves actually just sign their usual everyday signature. Mm. And, you know, it's very common for a bride to take the bridegroom's name. But I say, no, on the day you're just signing as yourself, as of today, just your usual signature. So they do that super quick, and then the witnesses step in and they have to sign, print their name and do their address, and then they repeat that all again because there's two pages. So the cute name for that legal paperwork is called the marriage particulars, or sometimes the copy of particulars, but the marriage particulars.
Are there rules around who can be a witness? So, for example, could my, you know, 3-year-old cousin be the witness at my wedding, which is not scheduled because she has a really cute signature, which is actually just a handprint?
Yeah. Well, officially, there is no minimum age for the two official witnesses to a marriage, but basically common sense is required when agreeing on who the witnesses are. Children of the marrying couple can be witnesses, but basically it's the celebrant's task to determine, you know, do those children understand the nature of what's happening, bearing in mind that they could potentially be called into court, you know, if the legality of the marriage is called into question. So, you know, as a celebrant, you want to be able to meet those children, have a conversation with them. And so, you know, once you're heading, you know, I don't want to say it's not given as a guideline, but, you know, a 3-year-old, no, they're not going to be able to have the understanding. A 10 or 12-year-old, perhaps.
All right. I'll be sure to play this audio and say it wasn't my decision. It was the president of Celebrants Aotearoa who told us that. So don't blame me for it.
Yeah.
What about celebrants? Are there legal requirements for celebrants?
Yes, there are quite a number of legal requirements. Being a celebrant, you are appointed by the Registrar General, who's currently Russell Bernard, for births, deaths and marriages. That is part of the Department of Internal Affairs. There's a stringent application process, and you are required on behalf of births, deaths and marriages to fulfil your legal obligations. The way I describe it to people, I say, well, there's kind of a short list of things that have to happen. Yeah. I mean, one is that you get married by an appointed celebrant. That's a really key point. Secondly, that as the celebrant, I must formally identify you. So I need to make sure that the people that I'm working with or who are standing in front of me, if I've met them at short notice, are the same people named on the marriage license. Mm-hmm. The marriage ceremony must be in Aotearoa, which actually does include the Ross dependency. Not that I know where.
Wow, that is. Really? That's great.
Yes. And up to our territorial boundaries. So you can
get married at sea
on a boat.
Wow,
but
cool.
But there has to be, you know, a position for the boat.
Yeah.
And the couple must say their vows in front of you, the approved celebrant, and before at least two other witnesses. So very commonly, people choose their witnesses and you know who they're going to be. But in fact, when you think about the nature of getting married, a marriage, everybody that is there, all your family, your friends, they are coming together to actually witness you getting married. I mean, that's the traditional whole kind of reason for why you do it. It's actually a public statement and a legal statement of commitment. You can write your own vows, of course, we know that, but there is a legal sentence of marriage which must be said during the ceremony and must be heard by those witnesses.
And what's that? What's that? What's that sentence?
Oh, what's that? Yeah. Okay, I will tell you. So that is, I, A, B, take you, C, D, this is very formal, to be my legal wife, husband, or partner. Now, in New Zealand, because we have a lot of flexibility, so the celebrant will say the couple's full name at least once during the ceremony, or the couple could say their full legal names at least once during the ceremony, and then the rest of the time it can be, you know, shortened names or nicknames. So it can be, you know, it has that really lovely informal feeling to it.
So if your name, if your name was
only saying,
oh, sorry, I was just going to say, if your name was Benjamin, but you went by Ben and all other components of your life, there would have to be at least one mention of Benjamin, and then everything else could be Ben.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that, I mean, that's what gives it the relaxed informality that we appreciate about contemporary weddings.
Let me ask you this.
And then there's a couple
Sorry.
I was just going to say there's a couple of jobs for the celebrant. Of course, we have to lodge the paperwork, the marriage particulars, to BDM. We have 10 days to do that. And then they will register the marriage. And, you know, if couples have requested a formal marriage certificate, that will be posted out.
And what happens if you forget to do that? Do they have to get married again and you have to foot the bill? That was just a joke.
Well, every now and again, the paperwork goes somewhere where it's not quite meant to. And so, you know, celebrants are very good at giving couples lots of information about what to do and when to do it. And I say use your first month anniversary as, you know, the date for when your certificate shouldn't arrive. And if it hasn't arrived by then and you've ordered one, get in touch with births, deaths and marriages and they'll sort it out for you.
Let me ask you this. The conditions that you've sort of laid out for a wedding to be legal, is that the same for marriages of all religions? Because different religions have different rules around marriage, right?
So there's two groups of celebrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually I'm not an organisational celebrant. Our organisation, Celebrants Aotearoa, represents independent secular celebrants.
Right, okay.
But as far as I'm aware, they are the same rules, yes.
Okay. It's really, really, it's a really, really interesting area, the more that you sort of delve into it. I mean, one thing that I was curious about, thinking back sort of maybe, you know, 10 years ago, it felt like a lot of my friends were sort of qualifying as celebrants so that they could marry their friends just in sort of a one-off kind of thing and then never be a celebrant at a wedding ever again. It was just kind of like a thing that people did, like a novelty kind of thing. But that doesn't seem to happen so much anymore. Has there been a change in the rules as to who can qualify to be a celebrant and so on?
There hasn't been a change in the rules, but perhaps a change in focus with a better understanding, maybe, if you want to put it that way, of the role of a celebrant.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, what that requires of you, and you know, BDM, that's probably a BDM question, but... you know, BDM do encourage people to undergo training and in recognition, but it's not mandatory, in recognition of, you know, what the role entails.
Mm. Super interesting stuff. Rachel Clark, thanks so much for joining me for Shower Thoughts today and chatting to me about it. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that was Celebrants Aotearoa President Rachel Clark helping us to answer the shower thought. Why do we still need witnesses at weddings? And if you have a shower thought once more, you can text it through to 2101 or email us knights@rnz.co.nz.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.